ூவ விஷ்வசர்த்தோனோத்தர்வாஜேஷ்டபுத்தா In the process of the manifestation of God Almighty, the creator of the world and the protector of all beings, taught Brahma Vidya, the science of Brahman, which is the origin, the support and the foundation of every other learning, every other vidya or science or art. He taught it to his eldest son, Atharvana, a great sage. This knowledge which Atharvana received from Brahma, Atharvana taught to another sage called Angi. This great sage Angi, who received it from Atharvana, who received it from Brahma, gave this knowledge to Bharadvaja, another great sage. This is the line of the descent of knowledge. Bharadvaja, known also as Satyavaha. And this Bharadvaja, taught this wisdom once again to Angiras, the wisdom of Paravara, the high and low, this knowledge. It includes everything that is here and also everything that is not here. The highest reality as it is in itself and also the reality manifest in the form of creation. Is Paravara. This Brahma Vidya is a knowledge and a study of this great reality which appears as Para and Avara, the high and low at the same time. When there was an assembly of all these sages, which is reported to be taking place, to have been taken place frequently in a place called Naimisharanya. So many times these sessions took place there. Teachings of the epics and the Puranas and the great scriptures were given by great teachers. Like Siddha Puranika, who is the speaker in the Mahabharata as well as the Puranas. And one of the sages assembled there for listening to the discourse was Shaunaka. Always you will find the questioner is Shaunaka in the Puranas. Shaunaka was the great sage who performed large sacrifices, and his sacrificial ground was very big. Therefore, he was called Shaunaka Mahashala. Chala is the center middle ground. Mahajala means the large ground here, running to some kilometers maybe. That is hundreds and hundreds of yajñas and sacrifices did the Shaunaka Maharishi perform now and then, continuously. And usually, these discourses used to be conducted in the very place where yajñas took place. On one side of the pandal or tent or the yajñashala, actual havan, yajña, the sacrifice will be performed by the appointed priests. But another side, there will be discourse going on. Even the recitation of the Mahabharata by Vaishampayana was on a sacrificial ground. Janumeya was performing a sarpayaga, a yajna, which he undertook to vindicate the justice of his father, Parikshit, who died on account of a snake bite. The anger of Janumeya over the snakes was such, when he heard later on that his father died in that way, he determined to end all his species continuously, completely. And he conducted a yajna for sarpa yajna. It did not succeed in the end on account of some interference, whatever it is. At that time Vyasa was present and he told his disciple Vaishampayana to speak the whole story of the Mahabharata to Janumeya, who was eager to know what exactly happened to his forefathers, the Pandavas, whose progeny was Parikshit, who was the father of Janumeya. And similarly, the Puranas were recited by Suta, a learned sage in the Naimisharanya forest, which is near the modern Nimsar, somewhere around Sitapur. And Shaunaka, the great sage, the Mahashala, the performer of large sacrifices, stood up in the assembly and queried the great sage Angiras, who received this Brahma Vidya through a descending line of teaching commencing from Brahma, the creator himself. Humbly, respectfully, in a traditional manner, this great Sri Shaunaka Mahashala approached Angiras, the great master, who was in the audience. He put a question. What is the question? Great master, holy sage, kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is that? By knowing which one can know everything else also. Is it possible to know something which can lead to the knowledge of all things at the same time? Generally, such a thing is not possible. If you know one thing, you will know only that thing. The knowledge of A does not involve the knowledge of B, because A cannot be B. One thing cannot be another thing. It is a law of contradiction in logic. So, what is this question? Some supernatural question is raised by Shaunaka Mahashala. What is that thing which will at the same time mean the knowledge of all things? Simple question leading to an answer which is the entire Upanishad. So this say you queried in this manner. Anirudha, the master speaks. Two kinds of knowledge are to be acquired. Two types of learning, knowledge. The higher and the lower. You have to know what higher knowledge is, and you also to know lower knowledge. This is how we hear from Brahmavids, the great knowers of Brahma. This is the instruction we have received from the Brahmavids in regard to how knowledge can be acquired or obtained. The knowledge of the lower is important, though knowledge in the lower is not the same as higher knowledge. The lower knowledge is something like the legs of a human being, and a human being can live even without legs. They are not essential to the body, but they are necessary for the body. In a similar manner, the lower knowledge is not going to take you to Brahman, but it is necessary as feet are necessary for you, and essentials need not be overemphasized with an overwhelming feeling of their importance, giving no credit to that which will lead to that essential knowledge. All knowledge is a graduated training of the mind in the process of enlightenment. From the perceptible, visible, gross, tangible and acceptable reality, you gradually move the mind to that which is not easily acceptable and cannot be understood so quickly as you can understand that which is seen with the eyes directly. That the sun is giving light to us, and it is now daytime, and the sun rose at a particular hour in the morning is something acceptable. But the sun gives light to all parts of the world at different times, in a very systematic manner, is something that cannot be seen with the eyes directly, and it requires a little imagination and intensive study for knowing that other fact involved in the illumination given by the sun on the earth, not actually accessible to vision physically. There are degrees of knowledge. And there are as many degrees of knowledge as there are degrees in the psychic setup of a human being. You have to pass through so many stages of education as are the stages which compose your own mind. The mental degree is also the degree of the reality that it will encounter in the process of enlightenment and education. The lower knowledge, Ravanaga put a question what knowledge is, and Anjira said there are two types of knowledge, the lower and the higher. Now we are told what lower knowledge is. Tatrapara, now listen to lower knowledge. Yadvedo yadurveda samaveda atharvaveda shittakarpo vyakaranam nirutam sandha jyotitam iti. Very interesting. He gives a blow at the very root of our otherwise imagination that the Vedas are the highest knowledge. All this is lower knowledge only, my dear friend. ऋग्वेद संहिता एंड ऑल थिंग्स कनेक्टेड टू द ऋग्वेद ऑफ ब्राह्मणास, यजुर्वेद, सामवेद, अथर्ववेद. देयर आर फोर वेदास. ऋग्वेद कंसिस्ट ऑफ हिम्स, प्रेयर्स, मंत्र. यजुर्वेद कंसिस्ट ऑफ सर्टन इनोकेशन necessary for the performance of a sacrifice. Samaveda is third verses set into music. Atharvaveda contains such material as may be regarded as a sequel or an appendix to the Traini or the threefold Veda, that is Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda. These four Vedas are not easy to understand. Their language is difficult, their grammar is very hard, and the implications of what they say are so deep that without proper introductory learning, you cannot know what the Vedas speak at all. These introductory trainings consist of a sixfold education in what is called Vedanga. The Anga or the limb of the Veda is sixfold, and you cannot approach the Veda unless you are proficient in these accessories called Vedanga, which are six in number. What are these Vedangas which are six in number? Shiksha, Kalpo, Vyakaranam, Nirottam, Chando, Jyotiram. Shiksha is the science of phonetics, the art of intonation and modulation of the voice in the recitation of a Veda mantra. You might have heard people, panditas, chanting mantra of the Veda. It has got a way of pronunciation, an articulation, a modulation, and a raising of the voice or the bringing down of the voice or keeping the voice in a harmonious manner without raising it or coming it, bringing it down. These are called sciences of giving a special meaning to the mantra. You may be wondering, what is this great point in intonating the mantra? Oh God, protect me. I can say that in any way I like. Why should I sing it in a particular tone? The reason is, the Veda mantras are composed in such a way that different intonations give them different suggestions. Even when we speak, you see, our mode of speaking gives a special significance to it. You can utter a sentence with a different voice formation, which may mean different things under a different way of expression. Sometimes you gesticulate, sometimes you change the voice, raise it or bring it down, or modulate it in such a way that you can give different meanings to it. As for instance, when you speak something when you are happy or unhappy, or when you are angry, or when you want to abuse somebody, you know how your voice changes. Likewise, a special kind of technique has been adopted by the science of Shiksha, attributed to Panini, the great grammarian, which instructs us in the art of the correct intonation and pronunciation of the Veda mantra, especially the first three, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda. This is called Shiksha. Kalpa means the ritual, the performance of a ritual connected with the specific injunction of the Veda, especially of the Brahmana. We have seen Acharyas, Purohitas performing Havana. They chant something and put it here, put this here, put it there, and Garba here, grass there, water here. ஆசமனம் தே வில் டு அண்ட் வாஷ் தேர் ஹேண்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் புட் சம் ரைஸ் பார்ட்டிகல் தேர் சோ many things they will do. These are certain techniques of ritual. These are elaborately described in Kalpa Sutra. Kalpa Sutras are of four types. They are called Shravana Sutras, Gripsha Sutras, Dharma Sutras, and Shubha Sutras. Kalpa Sutra is of four types. The Shravana Sutra is a text which describes the manner of the performance of sacrifices according to Vedic injunctions. The Gripsha Sutra is connected with sacrifices and performances to be undertaken in one's own house and not in some big yajnashala. The Dharma Sutra is that kalpa which gives you the rules and regulations of social and ethical life, such as varnashrama dharma, etc. The Shulpa Sutra describes the length, the measurement, etc. of certain articles that are to be used in the sacrificial methods of Vedic type. So there are four types of sutra, which are called kalpa. So shiksha is over, kalpa is over. Vyakarana is grammar. There are two types of grammar, the classical grammar and Vedic grammar. In Panini's method, you will find both these things. Vedic grammar is studied only in advanced stages. So usually the students who study Sanskrit, they go to only classical studies and they are the well-known Vyakarana. Unless you know the technology of the method by which words are used in the Veda Mantras, you will not make any sense out of them. So Vyakarana grammar is necessary. Nirukta is the etymology of the word. How has a word been formed? Indra, Mitra, Varuna, Agni, this, that. What do you actually mean by these words? They have a root. As every word in language has the root from which it is derived, the Vedic words also have a root from where they arise. The Nirukta Shastra of Vyasacharya is the great textbook which goes into details on the etymology or the roots of the words used in the Veda Mantra. That is Nirukta. Sanda is the meter. Every verse, mantra of the Rigveda Samhita particularly varies in its meter. It is long or short or Gayatri, Chandas or Trishtupa and all that. And accordingly, the intonation also will change. So, meter is the chandas. Jyotisha is the astronomical science which will tell you at what particular time of the conjunction of the stars or the planets you have to undertake a particular ritual or a sacrifice. It doesn't mean that any day you can do some worship and any day you do some havanam and all that. A particular havan or yajna should be done at a particular time in consonance with the respective conjunction of the planets and the stars. That Shastra is astronomy, Jyotisha. You cannot go to the Veda directly and understand anything out of it unless you are proficient in the six auxiliary Shastras or scriptures called Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chanda, Jyotisha, and all these. Says the great master, together with the original Veda, Sanskrit, Veda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, consider all these as your knowledge. They unify your mind. They enlighten you into the mysteries of the whole of creation. They will purify your mind because of the power that is embedded in the mantras and the emotional or religious awareness that is stimulated within you on account of the meaning that you see in the mantra and the blessing that you receive from the sages who compose the mantra and the special power that is related to the meter also, all will put together, create a new religious atmosphere in the person who takes to the study of the Veda. It is great and grand, worth studying. It will lift you to the empyrean of a comprehension of values that are not merely physical but superficial. That it is not enough. There is a birth to end. What is the greater knowledge then? Which is higher than this mentioned? That is the higher knowledge which alone can you reach the imperishable reality. Learning is different from wisdom. Scholarship is not the same as insight. So you may be a learned Vedic scholar and very proficient in the performance of sacrifices and invocation of gods from heaven, but eternity is different from temporality. All these things, glories of Veda, are in the region of time, and the eternal is timeless. What is that timeless thing? That which is called imperishable, yata tadrishyam agrahyam agotram avarnam adattva srotram dadapani padam nityam dhubham sarvagatam dhudhutram tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paribashyanti dhira. That great reality is to be encountered in direct experience. That reality which is not capable of perception through the eyes, adrishya. That which cannot be grasped with the hand, agrahya. That which has no origin, agotra. That which has no shape or form, avarna. It has no sense organs like us, atattva srotra. It has no limbs like feet, hands, etc. The Pani Bharam, permanent, eternal, all pervading, subtler than the subtlest, Nityam Dukum Sarvagatam Dukotram, imperishable, Tadandeyam, origin of all being, Udayoni, Paribhashyanti Dhira. Heroes on the path of the spirit behold that great reality within their own selves. Yatornanabhihi srijate krnate ca yata prithivya moshadaya sambhavanti yata tata purushat keshalo keshalo mani from this eternal being, this world, this universe has emanated. How does the world come from God? You have seen spider splitting threads from its own body, from its saliva as it were. Threads come out and it weaves a web around itself. Or you have seen trees growing from under the earth spontaneously. Or you have seen hair growing on the head. Some such way is the manner of the creation of this world. Tatsarasam bhavati avishvam. These analogies have some significance of their own. the spider does not create the web from external material. The upadana is the same as the nimitta, as they call it. The instrumental cause is the same as the material cause. In the case of the spider, it is in the web. In the case of the water making a pot, the instrumental pot is not the same as the material pot. So in the case is the carpenter and the furniture. That is to say, the water does not make the pot out of substance coming from his body. So is the case in the carpenter. But in the case of the spider, the creation of the web is materially emanating from the very body of the spider. So the material cause is identical with the instrumental cause here. They are not two different things. And God does not create the world as a carpenter or a potter does. There is the substance of God verily present in creation. That illustration is brought out by this analogy of a spider creating web. Yathapratibhya moshadhaya sambhavanti. Or another analogy. Trees grow from the earth. They draw sustenance from the earth. The original support of all the trees is the substance of the earth only. This analogy tells you that the world is sustained by God. And all the values of the world come from God only. He is the soul of all that He creates. Also the analogy of the hair growing. We have had a difficulty sometimes when we behold rocks, stones, inanimate matter existing in this world, and we are unable to connect the inanimate things with animate consciousness. How can animate conscious God create inanimate stuff? This analogy brings out the possibility of inanimate things also coming from animate consciousness, as air growing and becoming inanimate, so that you can shave off out of an animate skin, or dead nails projecting themselves forth from animate nails. And the light from consciousness, the apparent unconscious is also then emanate. These difficulties are solved by analogies of this kind, namely the spider's web, the trees growing from the earth, and the hair growing from the body of the person. Like that, please understand that eternity produces temporality. To put in the modern scientific language, the four-dimensional reality creates the three-dimensional world of length, breadth and height.
Tapasa chiyate brahma tado annam abhijayate anna prano mana satyam loka karma sukhamrutam. In one verse, the whole of creation is described. Brahman, the Supreme Absolute, distends, swells, becomes large as it were, by tapas. Tapas means concentration. The Brahman's concentration is the will to create. becomes extended in the form of the contemplated shape of creation as it were. When you think something, the mind takes the form of that thing which you think. Now the Supreme Absolute thinks, wills, concentrates itself on the shape which creation has to take, and that is the swelling or the extending or the becoming large of Brahman in tapas. The swelling or the extension of being in tapas also means the increase in the potentiality of the one that concentrates. In the case of Brahman, it would mean the contemplation of the form of the world which has to be created in the future. In the case of people like us, tapas would mean the intensity of heat generated inside by the concentration of the mind and the prana. Tapasa kriyate brahma tatonnam abhijayate. Very mystical are these words. The meanings of the terms in the Upanishads of this time are not to be taken in a dictionary sense. They are highly connotative, and here it is mentioned that when Brahman concentrates itself in his tapas, Anna is created. Anna means, from the point of view of ordinary linguistic exposition, food, anything that is eaten. But in the Upanishads, Anna does not mean just what we eat. It is something more than that. The material content of consciousness is called Anna. The content of the consciousness which takes the shape of the content in the act of concentration creates an anna for it. The object of thought is the food of thought. Anything that you think is the diet of the psychic process. And here in the case of Brahman, the potential material, the matrix of all creation, we may call it Mula Prakriti in the language of Sankhya and Vedanta, etc. There must be some stuff which has to manifest itself in the form of creation. The concretization of the will itself is the stuff. Or rather, Anna may be taken in the sense of the substantiation of the will of God. It has to take effect. The implementation of the ideation of the Absolute is the food, the content, the shape, or the form of this tapas. Anna is produced in this manner. Cosmic potentiality is created by the concentrating act of Brahman as tapas. That is the meaning of this prasa. Tapasa kriyate brahma tatonnam abhijayate. When this potential in the form of a concrete substantiality of will
reveals itself, immediately vibrates into the form of the future shape in a more distinct form, which creation has to take. In the Panchadashi, we have a very clear-cut description of how this kind of manifestation takes place. Brahman is like a canvas on which somebody paints a picture. It is the background of everything. If you endow the canvas with some consciousness, you may imagine that for the purpose of painting to be drawn over it, the canvas has to concentrate itself on the thickening process that has to take place in the form of a painting of the starch over it, because painting cannot be done on ordinary cloth. There should not be pieces of holes there. So, the canvas for the purpose of painting a picture is cloth stiffened with starch. This stiffening is the process of the will, and it is the anna that is spoken of here. Then there is prana, the vibration. The painter's mind vibrates in the form of the outline of the picture that he is intending to draw. But if you don't bring the question of the painter in the case of Brahman, because Brahman itself is the painter here, the Brahman itself visualizes in the form of the vibratory process of his will, visualizes the outline of the creation that has to take place. After the outline is drawn, ink is thrown over it. It is filled with ink. Then the creation is complete. Likewise, there is first of all a will or an idea of the painter. Here in the case of this verse, it is Brahman has the idea of what it has to become, and then it stiffens itself into the will by suppose concentration, as a painter would concentrate on the painting that has to be done, and then there is a vibratory process of prana here. Here the prana word used indicates kaustik prana or Hiranyagarbha Tattva. Hiranyagarbha is prana. Hiranyagarbha is the cosmic vibration of the energy of Brahman through the manifested stuff called anna or potentiality. Then there is a further diversification of this concentrated universal prana in the form of thinking. We may compare this manas or thinking of Brahman to Virat Swarupa, which has emanated from the outline of the creative process available in Hiranyagarbha. In mind, cosmic mind, which is Virat, everything is clear. It is ink-filled picture as it were. Satyam. The words are all very intricate. Their meanings are not available for understanding on the surface. We have to go deep into the subject with the help of commentaries. Pragya means the order and law of the universe comes together with the manifestation of these gods, Hiranyagarbha and Virat. Law and order of the universe also are created simultaneously. The unified integration of the cosmic prana, Hiranyagarbha or Virat, is the principle behind the law and the order that has to operate in the manifested universe. As we have a constitution of a government, it is an integrated thought of the central law authority that manifests itself as diversified forms of manifestation in each department until it goes to the lowest level of administration. Then the world is created. Lokaha, the 14 worlds which are made up of the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. Karma sujamradam, then action proceeds. That is to say, individuals emerge from this cosmic manifestation of the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, then amradam, the fruit of action. So how many things are there? Firstly, there is Supreme Absolute. Secondly, there is anna or the potential for the future manifestation in the form of tapas. Thirdly, there is Hiranyagarbha, the vibratory cosmic prana. Fourthly, there is thinking, which is the cosmic thought, identifiable with Virat. Then fifthly, there is law and order. Sixthly, there is the manifestation of the 14 worlds. Sixthly, there is individuality, which is of the individuals, jivas, who are propelled towards action, karma. Then seventhly, there is fruit of action. So there are 7 degrees. Brahman, Anna, Prana, Manas, Satya, Loka, Karma, Amrita. 8 are there. 8 courses. Look at this wonderful thing. A sutra. It is like a sutra. 132-lettered verse giving you the whole scheme of creation from Brahman to dust. Look at the power of the composer of this mantra. Great thing indeed. Tapasa jiyate brahma tadonnam vijayate annat prano manas satyam loka karma sujamrutam. Very difficult verse. Yas sarvajna sarvavidhi yas yajnanamayam tapaha tasmad etat brahma nama rupa mannam jayate. That great being which is sarvajna and sarvavidhi, according to the commentator, sarvajna and sarvavidhi mean 2 different things. All knowing. Usually both words mean same thing, all knowing. But the denotative or the connotative meaning is that being which knows everything in general as also in particular. This is Acharya Shankara's interpretation. God knows everything in general and also in particular. Somebody asked me a question, does God know that a cat is moving in the kitchen? I said, he not only knows the movement of the cat, he also knows how many hairs are there in the cat. This is the direct knowledge of even the minute details of even atom. but he is not just dissipating himself in the knowledge of particular only.
There is a general control over the whole of creation, and there is a cosmic generality of knowledge. The great cosmic order is in his mind. This is the sarvajnatva, or the generality of the knowledge of God. But the particularity is, every little detail, even up to the counting of the hair of the person, counting the breath that he breathes, that also is known to him. Can you imagine what kind of knowledge he must be having? How many creatures are there in this creation? Gods and human beings and demons and subhuman creatures and insects and what not. How many beings that is? He will count them. Unimaginable power of comprehension. So God knows everything in general as well as in particular. That is the meaning of being sarvajna and sarvavid. Yasya jnanamayam tapah. We were told that he concentrated himself. He was doing tapas. What kind of tapas did he? Did he perform austerity by starving? His knowledge is his tapas. His wisdom, his knowledge, his consciousness, his intention, his purpose, his awareness, that is tapas. The knowledge of God is also the action of God. The awareness of God is also the concentration of God. The existence of God is the same as his work. So his tapas is knowledge. The greatest tapas is the concentration of knowledge. Every other tapas is secondary. Yasya jnanamayam tapah. Tasma etat brahma nama rupam annam vijayate. From this great being, Brahman, absolute, emanates the secondary Brahman. In the language of the scholastic philosophers, it is Prakriti. Mama yonir mahar Brahma. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Here Brahma does not mean supreme Brahman, but the Prakriti matrix of things. Then name and form manifest themselves. Nama rupam. The characteristic of an object inwardly is called nama, outwardly is called rupa. The indication, the determining factor of a particular shape that an individual has to take is called linga sharira in our case. The sushma sharira as it is called, the subtle body. Here nama does not mean simply name Rama, Krishna, Govinda. It does not mean that. It is the indicative linga or the specific character of the would-be individual in the form of a body. And rupa is the actual form physically. So the subtle and the physical shapes emanate as nama and rupa from this original Brahma, Mula Prakriti, Annam Dijayate, the field of action is created. Here Annam is the actual matter, it is the field of particular individual action for the jivas to reap their fruits according to the deeds they do. This is also a great verse. In one verse, so many things are there. These nine verses constitute one section of the Upanishad. Very concentrated is the teaching.
the verses are only 9. But so much has been said in these 9 verses that we may say that these 9 verses themselves are a kind of Upanishad. You can commit the whole thing into memory and meditate on the implication, the suggestive meaning of these verses, and it will form a complete meditation for you.